This podcast is a quest for well-being, a quest for a meaningful life through the exploration of fundamental truth. Enlightening ideas, insights on physical, mental, and spiritual health. The inspiration is love. The aspiration is to awaken new ways of thinking that can lead us to a new way of being. Being well. Welcome to Body, Mind, and Soul Healing Conversations.
I believe and trust in the innate wisdom of our bodies. Yet, life in today's society can cause disconnection and dis-ease. It's time to return to connection. Valeria interviews Dr. Jenna Creaser. She's a holistic family physician, yoga teacher, wellness coach, and the founder of Rising Rose Wellness based in British Columbia, Canada. She is a passionate advocate for promoting the health of ourselves and the planet, for honoring the medicine we all carry. Her career as a physician includes rural family practice, women's health, maternity care, and functional medicine. After completing her conventional medical training, she longed to learn more about holistic health and help others access true healing, and so continued to explore and gain experience in several other modalities. Also a wellness retreat facilitator, Jenna enjoys exploring and connecting with others on deeper levels, in wild spaces and places. Having trained in Ayurveda, somatics, acupuncture, mindfulness, hypnotherapy, compassionate inquiry, meditation, plant medicine, and intuitive coaching, Dr. Jenna believes deeply in the combined wisdom of both modern and ancient practices for greater health. Her work and retreats draw on knowledge from a broad range of modalities to provide a more holistic approach to wellness. Using science as a foundation, she loves to weave in teachings and lessons from spirituality and the natural world around us. Her offerings balance evidence with intuition to provide a deeper level of healing, alignment, and empowerment for the mind, body, and soul. Meet Dr. Jenna at risingrosewellness.ca. Here's the interview with Dr. Jenna Creaser.
In your own words, who is Jenna?
You mentioned this question earlier, and it's interesting. It kind of gave me this little flutter in my heart and my chest. Like, how do I explain who I am in words? Such a good question. First and foremost, what comes is, I'm a human living in today's world, trying to figure it out, I think, like we all are, so many of us are. My work is a big part of what I do, but of course it's not, the only part of me. But my work is as a holistic family doctor, who's kind of branched out, and I've been really kind of touching and offering different modalities to people, and all kind of with the interest and the curiosity about healing and what does healing really mean. That's something that comes from a heart, but I would say, I'm a sister. I've three beautiful sisters. I'm a daughter. I'm a proud dog mom. I'm a forever learner. I feel like I'll be a student until the day I die. An adventurer. I'm often traveling, moving around, whether it's for work or for my own passions and curiosities. And a yogi, also a teacher and student of yoga for many years now. And that has brought such a richness to my life. And, I was born and raised in rural Nova Scotia, which is the east coast of Canada. And so yoga wouldn't really be, in my heritage, but I started doing yoga actually just before I entered medical school. And I remember the first class I found extremely boring and challenging. And I think that just goes to show where I was at that time. I was very academic. I was very kind of goal oriented, and it was a slow yoga class. And I was just looking at the clock on the wall, waiting until it would be over, and really challenged by these poses holding for a long time. But yeah, just a little bit of a, side note in that, since then I've really grown this beautiful practice with yoga, where it has, you know, in a way it's become part of my identity, because it has just given me so much meaning in my life and with my offerings on a personal as well as a professional level. But it's interesting. You know, like I said, rural Nova Scotian girl who grew up, you know, about 15 minutes drive from the nearest town. So from my early childhood, I was, just a rural person who spent a lot of time outside in nature. And I'm really grateful to still have a really deep connection to nature. That's really informed my, my day-to-day life and a lot of my offerings. And in the last few years, my spiritual practice has really grown, and yoga's been one element of it, but there's been this beautiful blossoming of spirituality in these other ways as well. And that now, you know, you ask the question, who is Jenna or who am I? And if I think about it through that lens, it gets really complicated. It's like, well, I'm a human mostly. Or am I a soul having a human experience, like we all are? That's where, that's where, you know, I don't know if I can completely answer that question, but I'll leave it at that for now. Thanks for asking.
You did in a beautiful way. When I hear the word yoga, it means union, right, Jenna? The word yoga. And I see that you talk a lot about alignment, living in alignment, mind, body, soul. Were you inspired by yoga? Do what you do today in the sense of specific aspect of living in alignment. And I would love to know what that means. What it's like to live in alignment?
It's a big question. Living in alignment, I mean, there's so many layers to that. And certainly I will. I do have a lot of gratitude to yoga and some of my teachers and mentors in that, and kind of helping me to learn not only, you know, anatomical alignment, right? Sitting upright or standing with my spine in this good alignment. So on that kind of real body anatomical level, but how that can translate into these other, we say subtle, but maybe not even so subtle. You know, what is alignment of the mind and the emotions or the heart? And what is alignment of the soul? And, you know, I would say, as I was going through my training, my medical training, which is very kind of like body centric and focused more on like this physical sense of the body and physical ways of attaining health, quote unquote. I was also learning a bit more about, what is our nature of our relationship with the mind or the heart, and how can we be more in alignment with that? So for example, what is the story that I'm telling myself? You know, what is the dialogue going on in my mind? And practices of meditation, mindfulness have really helped support that as well. But then there's this whole concept of soul alignment, which becomes a really big question as well. And one that I'm certainly still in process with, of living more in a way that feels in alignment with my soul's calling. And it's something, you know, living in alignment with the soul Yeah, maybe we'll never actually know that on the level of our conscious awareness or brain, but I think it's something we can feel or we can intuitively sense into whether or not we're in alignment. You know, what we're doing on a day-to-day basis really fills us up and fuels us and feels good, or if there's something missing there. And I would say that was a piece of my journey through medical training and in my early years working as a physician. And not to discredit, you know, quote unquote, modern or conventional medicine and the training. I think it's really great in a lot of ways, but I had really gotten out of alignment, like physically, as well as emotionally, as well as on a soul level. I was working really quickly, seeing people, you know, in these 10, 15 minute interactions, maybe 20 minutes, trying to, you know, sort out a health condition, really focused on what the disease or the illness was, as opposed to the person as a whole. And I was really interested in the person as a whole, but I just felt like there wasn't time. I felt really, constricted by time, constricted by the guidelines of practice that were set in front as well. And I was working so much, I had kind of let go of some of the things I really loved, like being in nature or even my yoga practice, for example. And it was, you know, kind of realizing one morning I woke up and I just felt so heavy, so heavy at the thought of going in for another day of clinic. And it, you know, that kind of helped open my eyes that there can be more. From there, I went on and did a yoga teacher training and took a little time off. And then, just have over time been evolving how I structure my day and what work I say yes to, what work I offer, and also just, my day-to-day life, which I would say it's not perfect. I'm still, it's still in progress, but again, just living in this way that feels more true.
Ah, what's not to love about that? Yes, that was one of my questions. When did you realize that you're not living in alignment? And you just mentioned that. Yes, there's something about, I think we try to define everything. I think it's not really needed when it comes to the feeling that you speak of, this feeling of harmony. You use the word alignment. I usually use the word harmony for some reason, maybe because it has to do with nature too, that's always seeking harmony. We humans, we are nature. It's not just that we are part of nature, we are nature itself. So as long as we are not healed at some level, at any level, we will be constantly looking, seeking for that kind of harmony, which it's something that feels whole, right, Jana? There's this feeling of completeness, of, there's nothing missing, there's nothing lacking, nothing that can be added. This is just it. And I know I'm using words. I'm a student of Vedanta, Advaita Vedanta. It's a non-duality Hindu philosophy. So that has almost, it gives words, language to something that I couldn't express. So I found this philosophy and I could not believe it, that existed. Like, okay, this is perfect. because it is a feeling of completeness, of, it's almost like experiencing the infinite within the finite. I know this will go, that this moment will pass, thoughts I have in the body and all that, but there's something here that has been always here and will never leave. And I don't know what that is exactly, but it could be, some say, awareness, consciousness. I don't know. It's kind of, you know, but you don't know at the same time, because it cannot be interpreted by the mind with language.
Exactly.
Something like that. it's fun, isn't it? Even to talk about, it's fun.
I love it so much.
I can hear your voice too. So let's go back. Gosh, I have so many. We spoke off record and I mentioned, you know, I can easily just be all over the place. So I have my notes here. I love being spontaneous and being in the moment. But let me go back to the topic. Oh, Jenna, I love, as I mentioned again off record, the name of your company. So you're the founder of Rising Rose Wellness. What was the inspiration for those words, specific words, Rising Rose? There's something about them.
Yeah, it was the process of choosing that name. It took a while. I really wanted to transmit something through the name. And so I'm really delighted to hear that it landed with you and had that impact, because it was intentional to choose a name that, again, kind of felt in alignment or felt true. And I tried out many names,
yeah, I can imagine.
But kept coming back to Rising Rose. And what I loved, well, there's kind of a few elements to it, but one, this concept of rising, of growth, of evolution. And I really like the visual, actually, of a rose rising, you know, this beautiful flower that's coming out of the soil and rising up towards the sun and reaching, expanding out. And you know, on our own journey of, you know, our soul human journey, how we are, we're evolving and hopefully through that process, reaching towards these new levels that do feel, like you said, more harmonious or more true, or even I'd say, yeah, more healthy even. My organization, it's focused around wellness. So Rising Rose Wellness and this concept of healing or growing through the process. And then Rose specifically is, I have a really sweet relationship with Rose that has been budding and growing over time. And at, it was something that truly really informed me. I was probably about 6 or 7 years into my practice when I took some time off. I had kind of mentioned earlier, I had that morning, I woke up and just felt so heavy and finally identified it as being out of alignment with a lot of what I was doing.
Right.
And working with some really beautiful healers who are using plant medicine, including Rose, which my whole life I realized Rose was right in front of me, but I was never really seeing the beauty and the depth of that plant, what it can teach us, you know, about beauty and strength and resilience. And there's some really beautiful history around Rose as well. And working with this plant in these really subtle ways actually taught me so much that I'm so grateful for. And again, it seems like a bit of a theme with our call. It's hard to put into words or explain or make sense with the mind, but it's something that felt really true on the level of the heart.
Yes, billion times to that, which can't be expressed, but it's in a sense in the physical world, but it's actually, it's all around, it's everywhere. It's everywhere we look at it. Yeah, there's something about those words together, Rising Rose, that really, you use the word transmission. There was this energetic resonance and I felt something. And I guess if I tried to put into words, it would be what you said, beauty is one. And I think that I have been mentioning here for a long time now, how I see some human beings when I meet them, you being one of them. It feels like a flower. I can see they're, it's almost like as if they are becoming this beautiful flower in a sense of expressing their full potential or growing into that beauty of being what they are, not who they are, but what. I think there's something about that that resonates with me when I think about flowers in general. And of course, rose, it's just, it might be, interesting that you say that there's a history behind rose and has been used for as a plant medicine. I didn't know. Its presence is just so powerful, even the name.
Yeah. And on that, if I may add, thank you so much for that, by the way. It's really interesting. It's believed, if we think about vibrational frequency of different elements, plants, whatnot, rose is believed in the flower plant kingdom to have one of the highest frequencies.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense to the mind, even. Yes.
Yes.
It does. It makes sense to the mind. Then another, yes. So rising, and you spoke of growth. This is something that the concept of growing into something or growing in a sense of learning something new. I used to think that way before I experienced this placeless place that's complete, that's whole, that's not, it's already fully there. You can't add anything. You can't really grow into anything from there. So I wonder, and I know you mentioned, you talked about healing. I talk a lot about healing here too, and what's not to love about that. When it comes to the expression from that place of wholeness, the way I feel it's that embodying could be embodied, but also could be like letting that presence of wholeness overflow into the other aspects of being, body, mind. And that's what it feels like to me when you speak of growth and rising, so we can become this full expression of wholeness. And that has to do with beauty and love, doesn't it, Jenna?
And you know, as you speak to that, you know what came to my awareness was just this idea of like blossoming. It's like the rose, the flower was already a rose or a flower, but it like blossoms and rises up into its like you said, that expression of its full wholeness, or one expression of many. But as you speak to that, you know, absolutely there is. I've really been over the years becoming more and more curious about this concept that we are already whole and complete.
Yes.
That it's not that we need to necessarily change or add something, but perhaps there are certain things that are maybe blocking us from that wholeness, or having us out of alignment or out of harmony, as you would say, from that wholeness.
Yes.
And this has really shown up a lot. Part of the work I do is actually around psychedelic assisted therapy. And this is just one branch of my work. I certainly don't think it's necessarily for everyone, but it can be such a beautiful way for people to come back to that concept of they're already whole, but perhaps there's a trauma or a past experience or something ongoing in their life that has them disconnected from that wholeness.
Yes.
Yeah. And how do we reconnect to it? Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel. Yes. In my case, I experienced a lot of trauma, and I still feel a lot of those blockages still in the body, mind, they come and go. So from that place of placeless wholeness, there's something so gentle about already knowing that you're already there, that it's it lets everything be. So it's not trying to push anything away. It's not trying to add anything. It's just so wonderful to just observe, not as a second entity, but you're so close to it. And there's so much love that, in a sense, it blends. They merge together. And sometimes you get, of course, to, like in my case, I get to experience the pain still from the past. And but that, you know, there's this, in one hand, it's fun in a way. It's almost like, oh, I'm alive and I'm a human. How interesting to be a human. it's kind of fun. I mean, it's strange and it sounds abstract for some people, not to me. It's so real to me. I don't know. Does it make sense to you, Jenna? That's as far as I can go, I guess, trying to explain what that is, what that feels like.
Well, this complexity of being a human, right? And all these experiences that some of them were perhaps, really challenging or traumatizing, right? And then, but then, yeah, again, if we think of this trifecta, mind, body, soul, or mind, body, spirit, how on that soul level, that spiritual level, we are so perfect and complete, right? And,
yes,
and even on our physical level as well, but these experiences that happen that again might separate us from that truth, that deeper truth. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. And
yes.
Right. It's, right. Again, this, well, I just, you know, it has me think of this. There's this beautiful quote or saying that comes from the Sioux First Nations. The longest journey you'll make in your life is from your head to your heart.
Yes.
And I know there's a mind body medicine physician who's also kind of put out a different version of that quote. And it's just so beautiful. And I think of it now because I do think sometimes, and not that it's wrong, right? Our mind can be so powerful and amazing, but maybe perhaps if we're living a little bit too much in the mind or focused on the mind and, you know, including memories, past experiences, whereas it's like, can we come back into the heart? What does that even mean though? Right. It's complicated.
Yes.
But I wonder if part of that concept of wholeness is, you know, making that journey.
Yes, I would say so. It feels very much like it. Yeah. There's something to do with the concept of love. Yeah. It's very, in freedom, I kind of put love and freedom together because there's something about love that is, it's open to everything. It's just, it's all encompassing. It's not trying, it doesn't push anything away. So love is love. It only knows how to love. And that's interesting when we think about what's happening in the world these days. It has been happening, actually, as you know. And how do we make sense with the mind, you know? How do we, like, can we rationalize violence and injustice and all that? How can that also be love in a way, in freedom, consciousness, God, just doing what it does, being free to be anything? I guess that will be love to me when once we, if we can get to the mind to align with that truth. That everything is love, is God.
Huh. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That's a good time to talk about love. What is your ideas of love, Jenna? That's kind of my idea for now. It could change. But talk to me from your perspective.
Yeah. I was kind of just like steeping in what you were saying. It was so beautiful. Good question. And here, you know, I was really excited when we first, we're scheduling this and it was landing on the day of us meeting, February 14th, Valentine's Day, which obviously there can be a little bit of controversy and maybe in some ways it's been commercialized like many of our holidays. But yet if we think of, you know, what is the overarching reason or goal or message of this day, right? Of love and telling others around us we love them or even passing that love to ourselves. And so your question, you know, what is love? How do we define it? Right. It's like on the level of the heart or my soul, it's like, it's a feeling. And as you said, it's so open. It's so open and expansive and beautiful. And just, it feels like a wonderful, harmonious, even healing state to be in, right? And how to define that. But I like to think too, you know, I lead medical yoga for groups of patients that are often either post having a heart attack or a significant health condition and they're trying to heal from that, or maybe they're obese awaiting bariatric surgery. And so one of my classes I do with them is around love and compassion. And sometimes I find, even for myself, the term love is a challenging one to define, but we can then think of something like compassion or acceptance or positive regard, and how maybe those concepts can help us to sense into, you know, what would love be? What would love look like? And gosh, I feel like we could have a whole conversation just about that, like just some of the science behind compassion and love and how we know that when it's present, people actually have lower rates of depression and anxiety or stress, and they do better with chronic illness or disease. They heal more quickly after surgery or an injury. And so there is like a healing quality to it that we know. And yeah, there's this uplifting quality to it. Of course, it feels good to be spending time with a loved one, spending time with someone that we have those feelings towards.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, gosh, I lost my track a little bit there. I'm just thinking like, how do I define love? But I do truly believe that it's, you know, something that's kind of important to call in more into our world right now. And that, you know, that was part of my mission with creating Rising Rose and branching my practice out into this more holistic type of offering, was this trying to call into the world in my own, you know, smaller, big way, just to bring more health and healing through states such as love or alignment or harmony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How wonderful, Jenna. Yes. And I love the idea that as a doctor, you're doing that, bringing the subtle aspects of being that has been left behind or forgotten for some of us. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Yes, there's a lot in the conventional medicine and the academia too. It's all about goals, as you mentioned earlier. Yeah. So what's the goal, you know, for today? Like in your case, as a doctor, how many patients can we see? So that has really made a very, I'd say, unhealthy impact on humanity. But it seems like we are returning to that place of the heart, as you call it, to love, to something greater, as some people say, the higher self, the authentic self, God. I just talked to somebody recently, Patricia Lucardi, and she said, we live in a godless world. I was trying to get a feeling for that, and I couldn't. It was just very neutral. And when she said that, we live in a godless world, it didn't resonate true to the heart, of course, to hear whatever is here now. But it seems like we are seeing some of the expressions of that, this connection to our own selves, to what we are, essentially. And I truly feel that that is the main problem. We have become ignorant to our own truth. So ignorant in the sense of ignoring what is true. And that's why we have this feeling of being lost and disconnecting from our own bodies, minds, and then passing that on as a legacy in a way. So talk to me about it. There was one of the guided questions that you sent to me. Gosh, now there's a question about health empowerment too that we need to go back to. But since we are talking about love, you see I'm all over the place already. Yeah, you said that, why do you think society is lacking in love? So that was one of the questions, guided questions. Yes, that we can start there. So I would love for you to answer that question.
Yeah, and I feel like that does relate to what you were saying about this one opinion of living in a godless world.
Yeah.
Why is society lacking in love?
Right.
Yeah, it's, again, a big question, right? And yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe lacking isn't the right word, although it is, there is something to be said. You know, if we look at the world through a certain lens, you can see a lot of what you kind of touch to, like disconnection or ignorance or, gosh, violence, war even, right? This, a society that I think many of us would agree is quite capitalist and oppressive for many people. And I would argue very unhealthy. I mean, if I just see the number of fast food restaurants, shops selling alcohol that are open longer than, you know, say a healthy food store is, et cetera, et cetera. busy lifestyles, our reliance on fossil fuels, environmental toxins, the list goes on. And I don't want to get too pessimistic, but I think, you know, a lot of those, if we kind of boil it down, it's like, wow, there really is like a disharmony or disalignment there. And is that coming from a lack of love or is it ignorance? Kind of like you said, hard to really say, but yeah, it's interesting. It's almost like we, at some point along the line, us humans kind of got disconnected from the purpose of being here, or disconnected maybe from remembering what really does matter at the end of the day, you know, which ultimately I would argue is, you know, meaningful connection with each other, which with ourselves, and then with something greater than that, be it God or the universe, source, whatever word, you know, might resonate. And yeah, why that's happening, I'm not sure. But it's something I'm very curious about. And then on the other hand, I do see so many examples of love and connection and, you know, people. And I'd say beyond people, plants, animals, you know, other elements in the world that do really seem to come from a place of love and care. And that to me, you know, to define something like God, you said, or godless, I even think, you know, well, is this a form of God showing through? That's, say, the beauty of a rose blossoming in spring, right? And what that offers to the environment around it. So amazing and multifaceted. And yeah, this is, you know, part of my, like, my deeper mission. Even sometimes I'm stuck in the mundane, the paperwork, or, you know, signing the chart notes off on my computer. And I have such a brilliant coach who kind of has helped me along in my transition and evolution and shifting what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, just reminding me, like, why are you doing this?
Right.
And, you know, coming back to love as the offer, or love as one of the underlying reasons, just really has been so helpful for me. And I wonder if it's just that a lot of us have forgotten what really matters, or it's so easy to get wrapped up. There's a lot of distraction.
Yes.
And, you know, without judgment, but just to say, yeah, it really seems like there's a lot of distraction right now around us. And this hyperspeed society that, you know, is really focused on entertainment and goals and attaining and producing and getting. It's that I think is part of what takes us out of alignment or out of harmony.
Yes.
And then this beautiful movement to come back, and people who are already really living there.
Yes.
Even this podcast to me is such an example of, in another way, we are there.
Yes.
Right? It's maybe this is part of the experience we signed up for. I don't know.
Yes, right? I would say so. Yes, to experience this in this lifetime, per se.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think that it has a lot to do with what you said just now a few seconds ago about the system and the way it works. Even though you meet a lot of amazing people, beautiful people, that they seem to be loving, and I do too. Actually, most people that I talk to, even my neighbors, you know, at the gym, they all seem to be good people, you know, with good intentions and all. But I think there's something about the collective that is, it's so powerful that, like my husband, I don't drive. He has a car. That's not electric. It's not an electric. It's a gasoline car. So that really kind of doesn't resonate with me. I would love for him to sell this car and get an electric car. But then it's more expensive than this one. And I was just thinking to myself, how can we can't just have more bills. That wouldn't be good either.
Yeah.
So it's almost like we don't have too much room to dance within that, you know, with that love song that we've been speaking about.
Yeah.
Within the box, you know, the constraints of society, the way it has been structured. I don't know. That might And then it's easy to forget that, you know, the love is the most important thing. And then we go back to, I don't watch TV, but my husband does. And sometimes we watch sports together. And that makes me feel a little bit like I'm out of alignment. Why am I watching this? Mm. Doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, I'm keeping him company. You know, I know that has to do with love too, because he would be alone if I wasn't there. So I don't know, Jenna, there's some, it goes back to that freedom to me, that everything, it is an expression of God. And who are we to judge in a way?
Yes.
It's almost like God judging itself.
Right. Yeah. And that's such a good point, right? Like maybe we can broaden our lens, broaden our perspective. Some things that at a first glance may not seem in alignment or may not seem to be quote unquote love. Yes. But if you look at the bigger picture, the underlying intention, like you said, to be together, to spend quality time with your husband, or, you know, maybe that car that's fueled on fossil fuel, it's helping me to go visit family who live far away. And that time together is so special. Mm. It's things are certainly not black and white. Right. That's just it. There's so much nuance with it all.
Yes. I think that's beautifully said, Jenna, about being able to see the big picture and I think it comes from that place of wholeness again. Once you know that you are the infinite, you are limitless, you whatever it's being expressed here is just so, I mean, it is the totality, and at the same time, it's not. So it's almost like and it's not a paradox. I know some people say that, oh, it's such a paradox. I don't see it. I see it as freedom. It keeps coming back to me as a message. It's freedom. It's so wonderful to be here. So however this happened, you know, this moment here now. So why not be grateful for it regardless of what's happening? There's something about that keeps coming back to me. And I think it's the mind's trying to figure out where it's coming from. You know, how can you be grateful for this? How can you not push this away and I'm not doing it? And then it doesn't understand. So it's...
As you speak to that, two things are dancing in my awareness that I'd love to speak to. And the first is just, this piece on freedom, that word, you've brought it through a few times. And I think it's such a beautiful, powerful word. And it's interesting. I kind of just quickly looked up, like, what would the definition of freedom be? And it's very similar to empowerment in a way. Like the power or right to act, speak, and change as one wants without hindrance or restraint, associated with liberty and autonomy.
That resonates, true.
Yeah. And then empowerment, the degree of autonomy and self-determination. Able to have power and control over one's own life. So these two are kind of coming hand in hand, and it's interesting. Like one thing I'm a big advocate for is health empowerment, but maybe it's just empowerment in general, right? Of where we can feel and appreciate that we are sovereign and we're living in a world where we do have choice and we can affect change if we'd like to. We have option, we have opportunities, and freedom.
A billion times to that. We can come from a place of truth, our own truth, from experience. So belief systems are not needed, or we don't need to have a reference for what living should be or how I should live. It really feels to me like we know. Once we tap into that, we go deep enough within ourselves, we will find, what do you call empowerment, in what I call freedom. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
For sure, same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk to me about the health. So the topic of this episode is health empowerment to heal ourselves and the world. So going back to the topic, because I forgot actually for a moment, but I have in front of me here.
We're having such a wonderful dialogue of just what wants to come through.
Yes, I love that. Oh my God, I love that. And I really love that. So, but what is from your perspective in a sense of from what you do as a professional, what would that look like? I know you just mentioned freedom and you danced beautifully around that too, that idea. But what would health empowerment look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, again, this theme of wholeness, right? Mm. That piece is there. Mm. So I'm just going to park that to the side for a moment. I really want to come back to that too. Yeah. But health empowerment, I would say inspiration for me was actually meeting many patients that I felt were not empowered in their health or their lives for one reason or another. And, a simple example would be someone who's coming in for a prescription renewal and they actually don't even know what that medication is. So they're wanting something renewed that they're taking, they're putting in their body, maybe every day, maybe twice a day, but they don't even know what it is. You know, the blue pill, the pill for the heart. And so, you know, seeing these examples of what I would say disempowerment, where again, people aren't connected to that freedom, that choice, that level of awareness that I think can just be so profound for us. And so I'm really a big fan of people not only being educated, but just being really aware and feeling like, you know, ultimately we're each kind of in charge of our own, you know, human being in essence, and how beautiful that can be, that it shouldn't be a burden, but actually it can be such a gift to know that we don't need to give over our health to someone else. Like, for example, the doctor or the surgeon or the pill. That maybe that's a piece to help us to live more healthfully. But again, you know, this concept of wholeness, that we're already whole, but maybe there's some things that are keeping us disconnected from it or blocking us. But health empowerment, you know, if people really felt, you know, like they were the one in charge of their greater well-being. Right? That it wasn't reliant, for example, on a doctor or on a healthcare system, that those can be pieces to help, but they aren't the only thing. I just, you know, this old system, if I may just speak briefly, you know, current Western or conventional medicine is actually fairly new. You know, it's over the last, you know, not even a century that it came through. And I think many people would agree that it's quite a patriarchal system. And not to say, I'm certainly not here to discredit men. It's not even about that, but it's the approach of one person being better than, higher than, you know, having authority over another person. And we see this playing out in a lot of our systems too. I think not just the medical system, but this is my experience and where I've been really had a lot of experience. And yeah, I call it the old system because I think people are realizing that doesn't work anymore in ways. You know, this Western medical system is not actually, you know, meeting the mark and is having a lot of challenge right now. It's not able to respond to what's going on. You know, the mental health epidemic, the the number and rates of chronic illness, I think it goes to show that this approach isn't necessarily, you know, addressing the issue. And so I don't know, I really do truly believe if we could all get to this level of health empowerment, really take our health, you know, again, mind, body, soul into our own hands, wouldn't that just be such a free, beautiful way to be? And maybe people would feel more inspired to, you know, really address the pillars of health, you know, in functional medicine. We speak of these pillars of health, these five kind of domains. And, you know, one is sleep, one is movement or fitness, one is nutrition and our environment. One is, you know, mental, emotional, spiritual well-being. One is stress, hormones, our body functioning on these metabolic and physiologic levels. And all those pillars together are kind of completing this whole picture of health. And I think Yeah, this again, this could be a whole conversation unto itself, but just if people felt like they could do something in each of those pillars on their own, that to me just speaks to empowerment and being less reliant on waiting until your next doctor's appointment or simply taking the medication, you know, when you first get up in the morning.
Well, I love that you are a doctor and you're a working doctor and you're speaking in this way. So that says a lot about where you are in the evolution of being a human. So it's not about control, manipulation. It's about helping one another to return to harmony, to return to love.
Yes.
How beautiful, Jenna. Thank you.
And I just want to say I've had some really incredible mentors in medicine as well as out of medicine who have really helped me to see and start to appreciate and integrate that. So, yeah, I'm just so grateful for all of that.
Yes. What's not to love about them too? These amazing humans, non-humans to me, doing this work. Yes. And you mentioned the patriarchy. And yeah, this is when I say system, that's what it is too, the structure that we live with. It's still informed by those minds, per se. That's the way the old thinking believes. And I just wish for that to be evolving at this point. And it feels like it is, because my view of life, it's that the one that I mentioned early of completeness, of wholeness, of there's nothing missing. So it's not easy to judge and to try to push away and separate anything. So I'm always kind of looking for the expression of harmony. And it's just a question of when, really, because it goes both ways. Sometimes it swings once, you know, to one side and then to the other side. But it's an interesting dance, life. But if we can remember that we are not experience only, that we are experiences, they are happening in that space which we are, then it changes everything. For me, as a body, mind has changed everything. And at the same time, didn't, because I'm still here as a body mind. So it's very, what an amazing thing to be here in this placeless, timeless here. Thank you so much, Jenna, for being you again. Let's see if I missed anything. We're almost at the end of the interview and I don't want to. Let me see if you missed. Is anything else that you left unsaid? I would love for you to kind of bring it into this moment, whatever it is that it's still there and wants to be expressed.
Well, on one hand, I feel I could speak with you for hours. I don't think there's, you know, just, I guess the one thing I would like to just say that it kind of landed for me, you said like this remembering or this reminder and how we can all do that, like help remember or help remind each other to come back to these places. Of connecting with our wholeness and the gift of being here, being alive, you know, this full spectrum human experience that's unfolding right now, fossil fuels and violence and then, you know, beauty of flowering, blossoming roses, you know, the whole spectrum of it all. And it's just, such a gift. Such a pleasure to be able to chat with you about some of this. And yeah, I'd like to just offer, if people want to find me, they can seek me out. I do have a, you know, humble website that speaks a bit to some of my offerings, my mission, and one of my projects, which I love so dearly, is hosting retreats. And these are offerings from the heart for sure. It's a passion project that's also growing and blossoming, but I really love to land and have the time to have these sorts of conversations, experience these sorts of concepts and topics in person with people. It's just such a profound thing, but I'm feeling so blissed and uplifted and in such a loving place after our conversation. Here we are, February 14th. Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Jenna. I have my hands together. I usually do that. Some people, they interpret it as a spiritual thing, but it could be, everything is spiritual to me. So I'm doing that now too, which basically means that, as you know, namaste, it's what is, it's a salutation for what is here, that is everywhere. That's there with you. Yeah. It's everywhere. Yes, the retreats, I love that. I went on your website, it's beautiful too, is risingrosewellness.ca. And I'll have this on the podcast notes, so it'll be clickable. And yes, wow, the retreats, I love that. Love, love, love that idea that we can have these conversations, it's beyond conversation, really. It's just transmission of truth. That's how I feel. It's just this beautiful dance of eternity and the finite. Just, it really feels like that. Like, wow, I lose sense of a place, of time. I need to keep track of time for the sake of appointments, but it's interesting how, something happens and everything. And at the same time, I remember this placeless, the infinite, something becomes forgotten. I don't know if I can say it that way. I forget something, and that is the human experience as a body mind kind of disappears, dissolves. It's interesting to notice that too. So you have all the sessions and the offerings can be found on your website. You offer so much. I see here you've been doing amazing work. You are doing incredible work in this reality. Thank you so much again, Jenna, for your presence, and then we'll talk soon. We'll be in touch again. Take good care.
Thank you. Such a pleasure and a gift. Namaste.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Dr. Jenna Creaser and her work, please visit risingrosewellness.ca.
To learn more about this podcast, please visit fitforjoy.org/podcast. Thank you again for listening, and bye for now.